Here's the Rathiatra beginning. So this chapter is from Chaitanya Charita, Madhya Lila 13, Lord's dancing at the Rathiatra. So there's a nice prayer that is from Rupa Goswami's Stavamala. That we can start with. Ratharudhasya
Rayarata Dipati Devi Narchapati Abhadra Premori Spurita Natolasya Bhisha Sahasam Gayapi Paribrita tano Vaishnava janai Sri Chaitanya kimmi punaropi visho vayati padam. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced down the main road in great ecstasy before Lord Jagannath, the master of Nilachala, who was sitting on his car, overwhelmed by the transcendental bliss of dancing and surrounded by Vaishnavas who sang the holy names. He manifested waves of ecstatic love of Godhead. When will Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again be visible to my vision? Hey, Jagannath Swami ki. So, the Rathiatra has different meanings in different ages. When different kind of kings conquered that part of Orissa and Puri like that, then they would sometimes change the worship. Like when the Ganapatyas were in charge there, then they would emphasize more on Jagannath. For them was Ganapati, so they would like have a Ganapati. When the Shaktas were there, they would also give more concentration on Subhadra. She's the supreme mother of the Shakti, so they would give more attention to Subhadra. When Buddha was there, they were saying, this is, he is Buddha, we will worship him as a Buddha. So the present time and age, the major conception of Jagannath is Jagannath, Balarama, Subhadra in Vrindavan. The two brothers and the sister. This is by Mahaprabhu's mercy he has revealed this aspect of Krishna in Vrindavan. Otherwise it wasn't very, very much, well, much known. You see in any kind of ancient deity over 500 years old, generally there wasn't a Radharani there. So it's just more of a formal worship of Krishna, almost... Yeah, so it was a reverential mood of worship of Krishna, Krishna alone. But only since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propagated the Krishna in Vrindavan and the special prerogatives of devotional service that the devotees have of their choice towards serving Krishna as friend, as mother, as a lover. So... This is what is mainly accepted now in the academic world when we speak of Jagannath Rathiatra and Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra. It's there, they're in Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu was pointing this out in his Rathiatra. This incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so magnanimous. We know he is magnanimous. Mahapadanaya. But if he had not come himself, he wanted to understand Radha Krishna. So this is the reason of his advent. God is one and he becomes two. So that is Radha Krishna. Again he becomes one. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So again he becomes one. So now in this one, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's revealing what is Radha and Krishna. He's tasting he's tasting what his devotees, specifically Srimata Radharani, is experiencing in their loving relationship. So he wants to experience that because he can't experience it, because he's the object of all the devotion. But he wants to experience the bhakti that his devotees have for him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assumed the role of Srimata Radharani and the complexion, and he was relishing that. Simultaneously, he was teaching everyone else the whole process of worship of Radha and Krishna, and the essence of it. Otherwise, it's very, very confidential. But Mahaprabhu has actually revealed it. As I say, even 500 years ago, there wasn't much mention of Srimata Radharani and all those deities. Even the Jagannath Mitra's household deity, Gopal, in Belpakor, he's standing there all alone, thinking, where is Radharani? She's not there. Of course, that's a little bit different, because it's Satchimata's ancestral deity. She was worshipping that deity along with Nilamba Chakravarti Thakur, her father. But she has Vatsala Rashtra Krishna, so it wouldn't maybe proper anyway to have Radharani there. So anyway, he's there alone. But most of those other deities you see, Govindaji, all the main deities, Govindaji, Gopinath, and first it was just Krishna, later on they had Radharani coming. So this is what we owe to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's revealed Golok and the essence of Golok, which would otherwise would have been remaining a mystery. So Krishna appears as the son of Vasudev and Devaki. Balaram, we understand, was entered into the womb of Devaki, was transferred to the womb of Rohini, Krishna's brother. And then Subhadra Devi, she was born later. She was also the son of Devaki. Vasudeva had 18 wives, just 18 or 16, 18 wives, I think. So she gave birth to 8 children, and 1 daughter. That was Subhadra Devi. So Subhadra's mother is Vasudeva, Devaki, although he had 18 wives. We found her birthday the other day. We're still researching to see if it's a bona fide statement, but it's in Kartik month, just a couple of days after Govardhan Puja, or a couple of days before. So we celebrate Sri Krishna Janamastami as Krishna's birthday, so we can also celebrate Snanyatra, because Snanyatra was the day when Indradyumna Maharaj had actually inaugurated the deities of Jagannath in his Leela. So we can celebrate at different birthdays. We can have more than one Abhishekam for the, because they're appearing in different times. Balaram Jayanti is that. But Snanyatra, we bathe them all together because it's considered their birthday, their parents' day. So, here is the description of Lord Jagannath's rat. It's called Nandi Ghosh. And Balaram, his rat is called Devadalanam, and Balaram is Taladvaja. He has a palm tree on the flag, so Tal means palm tree. Talaram, and Jagannath has, what does he have on his flag? Anyway, I can't remember. And Subhadra, I think she has a lotus. She's called Padmadvaja. The chariot is called Padmadvaja. And Jagannath's cart is 45 feet high, has 16 wheels, which are 7 feet high also. And Subhadra Chariot has 43 feet high with 12 wheels. And it says in the scriptures that when the rath is moving, it should be pulled very slowly. The wheel should move slowly to the sound of uproarious kirtan. Because sometimes they have accident. They pull the rod too fast and it goes into the shops on the side of the grand road or something like that. So there's Shastric injunction that a rod should be pulled. The wheel should move very slowly with to the sounds of Harinam Kirtan. So this is how Jagannath is enjoying his Rath Yatra festival. There was a king, Purushottama, and he was going to marry one queen, Padmavati, who lived in Kalingi. And so this marriage was being arranged, and when the king of Kalingi heard that this king of Puri, he takes a broom and he sweeps the floor. He said, I'm going to marry my daughter princess to a sweeper. Tell him his marriage is cancelled. So when he got the message, King Purushottam was, you know, because he was a Kshatriya, he was hurt, he was like fire, he was so angry. Ugh, let's go out and chastise. But immediately he caught his arm, he didn't wait for a moment. Rode out to Kalingi. And got completely defeated. Had to return back. So he said, what happened? Why we didn't win? His minister said, well, you didn't even bother to see Jagannath. You left so quickly, you didn't ask for Jagannath's help. He said, oh, really? We forgot about that. Okay. So again, he went back and they asked for Jagannath, please help us fight against this king, Kalindi. So again, he got his army together and again they marched. This time, Jagannath and Balaram also went ahead. They were riding on horses. And they were halfway, they were really thirsty. They saw one little lady selling chach, yogurt or drink or something, yogurt or milk, chach. And they said, give us some chach, we're very thirsty. So she gave them, they drank it, and they said, oh, very nice. She said, you have to give some rupees. Oh, we forgot about, we didn't bring any money with us. Anyway, you take these finger rings, and when one king is coming now, soon he will come here, so you give these rings and tell him this is the pay for the church. So then the king arrived there, and then the old lady went up, look, here I got the king's the rings here, you have to give me the equivalent in money. And then they said, hey, it's Jagannath's ring. I think that in the history that Jagannath and Balaram went and beat all the army up before the king arrived there, or anyway, the king arrived there. Anyway, they beat them up. It was a big success. He conquered the king of Kalindi. He captured the princess, Padmavati. They took her back to the Jagannath Puri. And they said, so the king said, so your father wanted to call me a street sweeper. Anyway, now I've captured you. So he told his ministers, just put her somewhere out of the way, and when you find a suitable time, you can marry her to any street sweeper that you like, that's you think maybe qualified to marry her. everyone was very morose. Anyway, it came Rath Yatra time, and then it's the duty of the king at that time to sweep the in front of the rath. So he had to put the golden broom when he was up there sweeping. Then his ministers brought the Padmavati and said, here! Yeah, here is a suitable husband. He's a sweeper. You take Padmavati as your wife. So then they got married. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. So many, many pastimes of Lord Jagannath. One time Jagannath had a fever. He gets a fever every year after Snan Yatra. And there's one doctor, he's a friend of Radhanath Maharaj in Bombay, Dr. Allawa, very, very pious man. And so Radha Maharaj introduced him. He's in Puri, so he introduced him. These are to the pandas. And he said, Dr. Alwar is a very nice physician, very famous physician. I said, oh, you're a physician. You come and examine Jagannath. He's ill. He's got a fever. So Dr. Alwar, well, great. You can go in and get very close to darshan of Jagannath. So he went in, took him inside to see the deities, and he was holding the deity around the feet. He said, this is a pretty good deal. I have got the guy. I can come and touch Jagannath. Then he thought, you know, I'm not here to get the mercy. I'm here to serve Jagannath. So, and when you check a person's feet, you don't check it for a fever. You don't check on his feet or his legs. You check here or here. So he said, oh, yeah, I come here to do the. Let me do the service for Jagannath. So then he checked him here and put his hand up under his chin, if you can know where the chin is. And it was burning hot. He said, it's burning hot. He has a very high fever. So in fact, he does have a Jagannath does catch fever. So there was another devotee. His name is Karma Pondradas. Actually, many leelas in Jagannath Puri with his devotee. And he's one of the pujaris, so the puja was late one day, so the head pujari went to his house. He said, why you ever come? The puja's getting very late, everything. And he saw that this Jagat Bandhu, he was making his breakfast. He'd woken up and he was making his breakfast, but because he was late, he had a toothbrush, and he was toothstick, and he was cleaning his teeth with one hand, and he was making his khichdi with the other, his breakfast. He used to take some khichdi, so he's making breakfast with stirring it on the stove, and simultaneously he was cleaning his teeth. So then the head pujari said, hey, what are you doing? He said, you can't do that. You're going to offer that to your deity of Jagannath. And it's muchi. You got one hand, you're cleaning your teeth, and then you're going to offer the khichdi to your deity, your picture of Jagannath, whoever he had. So he said, okay, I won't do it, I won't offer it, I'll come immediately. So then he rushed off to do the puja. So they have a system in Jagannath Puri when they're making bhoga offerings, they put water in their hand and they look in the hand to see the reflection of Jagannath in the water. If they don't see the reflection, then they don't offer it. They said, no, Jagannath doesn't want to accept it. This happened about maybe 10 years ago or something like that. The pujari said, no, we're not accepting. We'll take everything out and bury it. And that's a lot of prasadam. They make rice. Mounds and mounds of rice they're offering to Jagannath. They take it out and bury it. So the pujari said, Jagannath's not accepting. There's no picture in the water. So they took it all out and buried it. When they were throwing out all the rice in the basket, they saw a big fish bone was in there like that. So Jagannath understood. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. So there was another devotee of Jagannath. He was actually a Muslim. And when he came back to his house at night, he found it had burned down. His family was inside. He had everything he was there. He was lost. He had nothing. So he was lamenting, I've lost everything. I have nothing. So he said, tonight I will commit suicide. Otherwise, so then Jagannath appeared in his dream. He said, no need to commit suicide. He said, I want you to do some service for me. You can make some sweets. He said, oh, I don't know how to make sweets. He said, anyway, you go and get some, ask for some job in the sweet shop. So he went to the sweet shop, and the sweet shop, our man just left, we need a new helper, so you can help. So he was helping and doing things and being trained in the sweet shop. Then Jagannath appeared. He said, I want you to make this sweet for me in his dream. You get some moida and you make a board, is it moida or atta, and you roll it out and you fold it over and you roll it out and you keep rolling and folding it. And then you fry it and put it in sugar water. It's called jiva gaja. Jiva, like the tongue. It looked like, you know, Jagannath famous prasadam. So Jagannath told, and then he started to make those things. And then he perfected the art, he got them down. So Jagannath then said, now you bring some to me, I want to eat them in the temple. He said, I can't do that, I can't go in the temple. Jagannath said, that's okay, you go in, don't worry. So they won't let me in, I'm a Muslim. Take them in anyway, offer them to me. But anyway, he made a big basket of these nice Shiva Gaja, put on his head with a cloth, went into the temple. Immediately the police and everyone, Kapandas come out, hey, where are you going, where are you going? No, I'm going offering to Jagannath. You can't come in. He said, no, Jagannath said I could come in. You're lying, he's just lying. Pushed him over, beat him and everything. Basket went up in the air, fell down, all the Jiva Gaja went everywhere. Suddenly a black dog come along. Took the Jiva Gaja, and then he ran in the temple, and all the pandas, hey, there's a dog in the temple. They're all chasing, and the dog is running around that big compound in Jagannath temple. He's running around, all the pandas are chasing. Hey, dog, dog, dog. Then he goes right into Garbhagriha, Jagannath's temple, right inside there. And then when they get there, they're looking, nothing, no dog or anything. And then they see all the Jiva Gaja right at Jagannath's feet. All the pandas say, oh, he must, then Jagannath, he wants it. So then he was allowed to cook that every day. He couldn't go in the temple, but he cooked every day all those Jiva Gajas that would offer to Jagannath. So that's considered Jagannath's favorite sweet. He said he eats it wherever it's cooked, he will eat it, even before it's offered. As soon as it's cooked, he likes that sweet. Jiva Gaja. Jagannath Mahaprasad ki jai. You worship Lord Jagannath by honoring Mahaprasadam. And who knows better than that than the Puri buses? They have so much affection and love for Jagannath. I was waiting with a devotee one time. We arrived at the Puri and the lion's gate. I said to the panda, can you get some prasadam? So I gave him some money. He went to get prasadam. And there was another couple of Puri. I don't know if they were pandas, but the Puri bashes there. And they were looking at us and they were making some fun. I guess they were saying malechas and things like that. They were kind of... Anyway, I think they were saying, it appears like that was a kind of mood. You know, they're just malechas, they're coming. So then the panda came out with the Mahaprasadam. So immediately I took some and I immediately went straight over to those guys and said, Mahaprasad, and they went, even though I'd eaten it, and the same one, and another went out and I said, Mahaprasad, they immediately went like that, please. So beyond all rules and regulations, Jagannath, the Mahaprasad transcends everything. There were some other devotees there, ISKCON devotees, and they were staying in a hotel and they booked Jagannath Prasadam, so the pandas came and they put all the pots down. All the devotees were sitting online there, banana leaf plates, waiting to take Prasadam. And then they were waiting and the Prasad come and the pandas were there. There was an argument going on and everyone was waiting, hey, what's happening, we're starving, hungry, come on, hurry up, bring the Prasadam. And so pandas generally they serve when they bring, they want to serve. And the panda said, we're not serving it. I said, why not? He said, you've got some food on your plate. I said, what food is that? Look, you've got food on your plate. No, this is Mahaprasad from Radha and Krishna in the Bhakti Bhavan, the ISKCON temple. They got some Radha. What's the name of the deity? Namada? No. Anyway, Radha Krishna Mahaprasad from ISKCON temple. And devotee went there and he put a little bit on every plate. But when the panda saw that, said, no, there's food on the plate. They said, it's Mahaprasad. It is not Mahaprasad. There is only one prasad in Puri. That's Jagannath's prasad. We will not put... When there's another food there, we will not... This is the chastity of they have for Lord Jagannath. Of course, there is there's one prediction. That some devotees steal the deity, they kidnap Jagannath, the foreign devotees, somehow or another they kidnap Jagannath and put a duplicate there. And then the pandas find out and a battle takes place on the train, where Jagannath was on the train. The battle takes place and then the carriage separates from the train where Jagannath is. And so the pandas catch Jagannath again. They capture him. But they don't take him back to Puri. He stays there. It's in Cuttack, the area there somewhere. They know where it is exactly. They build a temple. Finished now. They've been building for over 100 years. Beautiful temple, and they're just waiting for the incident to happen because they believe those predictions. They have a book on predictions, and they all come true. So they're waiting in that temple. When Jagannath comes, he doesn't want to go back to his temple. So that's why they don't like foreign devotees. When they see the foreign devotees, it's like, they're going to steal out Jagannath. They're going to kill Jagannath. It's like Devaki. Every time she saw Kamsa, look, he's come to kill my Krishna. So they're seeing like that, these Western devotees. They used to beat us in the early days. Now they're not so bad. But when we were first going, in the early 70s, they would. Like that. They see us like Kamsa. They come to kidnap our Krishna, our Jagannath. So that's their love for Krishna. It's very strong. Anyway, we can read something because it's in Mahaprabhu's dancing and chanting and speaking to Jagannath here. This is what we'll be doing today. At least we'll be pulling and chanting, but you can also offer prayers like Jagannath. Like Mahaprabhu, and hear the conversation that Mahaprabhu was having with Jagannath. He's revealing so much that otherwise wouldn't have been revealed. This was his mercy. So Mahaprabhu was there dancing, and he made different kirtan groups, and then he divided up into seven different groups with so many madangas, I think four madangas. Different kartal players, singer, lead dancers, and then he would expand himself into seven Mahaprabhus and be with each party, and sometimes he would bring them all together and he would dance in the middle. They would form circles around him, and he would offer his prayers to Lord Jagannath. Namo Brahmanaya Devaya Go Brahmanteyo Cha Chakatitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo. Jayati, 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 Devi, Deknadam. Oh, these nice praises of him. Naham Virucho Napati Navaisha. I'm not a Brahmana Kachya Vaisha Shudra, not a Brahmacha. And this is right before Krishna, right before Jagannath. It's a nice prayer we should offer. I identify myself only as servant of the servant of the servant. And we can offer these nice prayers and pull Jagannath. So, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, roaring like thunder, and moving in a circle like a wheel, he appeared to be like a circling firebrand. Our Russian dancers do that sometimes. They have something, they turn it around and around. It looks like a complete circle. It's fire, is it? Or maybe a light or something. Those dancers. So Mahaprabhu was like that. He's dancing. You couldn't see which. He looked like it was a continuous circle. He was like a firebrand. Whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stepped and while dancing, the whole earth with its hills and seas appeared to tilt. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, he displayed various blissful transcendental changes of body. Sometimes he appeared as though stunned. Sometimes the hairs on his body stood on end. Sometimes he perspired, cried, trembled, and changed color. And sometimes he exhibited symptoms of helplessness, pride, exuberance, and humility. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down with a crash while dancing, he would roll on the ground. At such time, it appears that a golden mountain was rolling on the ground. Nityananda Prabhu would stretch out his two hands to try to catch the Lord when he was running here and there. Advaita Acharya walking behind the Lord and loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, again and again, just to check the crowds from coming too near. The devotees formed three circles. The first circle was guided by Nityananda Prabhu with Balaram himself, the possessor of great strength. All the devotees headed by Kasiraj and Govinda link hands and form the second circle around the Lord. Maharaj Prataparudra and his personal assistants formed the third circle around the two inner circles just to check the crowds from coming too near. With his hands on the shoulders of Harichandan, King Prataparudra could see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, and the king felt great ecstasy. While the king beheld the dancing, Srivas Thakur, standing in front of him, became ecstatic as he saw the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing Srivas Thakur standing before the king Harichandan, he touched Srivas with his hand and requested him to step aside. Absorbed in watching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance, Srivas Thakur could not understand why he was being touched and pushed. After he was pushed again and again, he became angry. Srivas Thakur slapped Harichandan to stop him from pushing him. In turn, this made Harichandan very angry. As the angry Harichandan was about to speak to Srivas Thakur, Prataparudra Maharaj personally stopped him. King Prataparudra said, "You are very fortunate, for you have been graced by the touch of Srivas Thakur. I am not so fortunate. You should feel obliged to him." Everyone was astonished by the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even Lord Jagannath became extremely happy to see him. The carts came to a complete standstill, and remaining immobile while Lord Jagannath, with unblinking eyes, watched the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The goddess of fortune, Subhadra, and Lord Balaram both felt great happiness and ecstasy within their hearts. Indeed, they were seen smiling at the dancers. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, eight wonderful transformations indicative of divine ecstasy were seen in his body. All these symptoms were visible simultaneously. His skin erupted with goose pimples, and the hairs on his body stood on end. His body resembled the shimuli tree, the cotton tree, all covered with thorns. Indeed, the people became afraid just to see his teeth chatter, and they even thought that his teeth may fall out. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole body flowed with perspiration and at the same time oozed blood. He made sounds like jagga gagga, jagga gagga in a voice choked with ecstasy. Tears came forcibly from his eyes of the Lord as if from a syringe, and the people surrounding him became wet. Everyone saw the complexion of his body change from white to pink, so that his luster resembled that of a mallika flower. Sometimes he appeared stunned, sometimes he rolled on the ground. Indeed, sometimes his legs and hand became as hard as dry wood, and he did not move. When the Lord fell to the ground, sometimes his breathing almost stopped. When the devotees saw this, their lives also became very feeble. Water flowed from his eyes and sometimes through his nostrils, and foam fell from his mouth. These flowings appeared to be torrents of nectar descending from the moon. The foam that fell from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taken and drunk by Subhananda because he was very fortunate and expert in relishing the mellows of ecstatic love of Krishna. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his devastating dance for some time, his mind entered into a mood of ecstatic love. After abandoning the dancing, the Lord ordered Srup Damodar to sing. Understanding his mind, Srup Damodar began to sing as follows. "Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away." When this refrain was loudly sung by Srup Damodar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began rhythmically dancing in transcendental bliss. The car of Lord Jagannath began to move slowly while the son of Mother Sachi went ahead and danced in front. While dancing and singing, all the devotees in front of Lord Jagannath kept their eyes on him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the end of the procession with the Sankirtan performers. His eyes and mind fully absorbed in Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to play a drama of the song with his two arms. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dramatically enacting the song, he would sometimes fall behind in the procession. At such times, Lord Jagannath would come to a standstill. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went forward, Lord Jagannath's car would slowly start again. And thus it was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong, he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlight nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet, still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to be back to that place on the bank of the river under the Vetshati tree. That is my desire. This verse was recited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again. But for Srirupa Damodar, no one could understand its meaning. I already explained this verse, now I should describe it in brief. Formerly, the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met Krishna at the holy place of Kurukshetra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke with the ecstasy of gopis. Being absorbed in his ecstasy, he asked Srirupa Damodar to sing the refrain. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus spoke to Lord Jagannath, "You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish you please again appear there with your lotus feet in Vrindavan." In Kurukshetra there are crowds of people, elephants and horses, and also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan there are flower gardens and the humming of the bees and the chirping of the birds. They can be heard. Here at Kurukshetra you are dressed like a royal prince, accompanied by many great warriors. But in Vrindavan you appear just like an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. Here is not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. Therefore, I request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled. In that ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited many other verses, but people in general could not understand their meaning. So this is the meaning of bringing Rath Yatra there to Gundicha. Gundicha is representing Vrindavan. So Kurukshetra, the devotees are bringing Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra to Vrindavan from Kurukshetra. When they all went there for that solar eclipse, the Krishna dynasty, Yadu dynasty, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they all went there and actually they went there to see Krishna. The solar eclipse was something secondary, but on the plea, with the excuse of the solar eclipse, they all went to see Krishna. And now they met Krishna in a secret place, the gopis, and they were expressing their desires, "You please come back to Vrindavan. We want to see you there." But Krishna, how he can go, because he's got his 16,000 queens with him also, and his armies and his infantry and chariots. So how can Krishna go there? Radharani is saying, "You are the same Krishna. We know that you're not someone different, but this is our desire. We want to bring you back to the bank of the Jamuna where we're enjoying our pastimes." So this also expressed this feeling in Navadvip in Vidyanaga. Vidyanaga, is it called it? Anyway, Vidyavachaspati, house, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he left, then he came back to Navadvipa. And he stayed at Vitishpati's house, and he came up on the roof to give his darshan, and everybody, Mahaprabhu's back, he's back after taking sannyas. Millions of people came flocking towards Mahaprabhu to get that darshan of Mahaprabhu, who appeared on the roof to give everyone his darshan, he was, as a sannyasi. So in the Nabadi Baba Taranga Bhaktivinoda Thakur is expressing this same mood there, that he's saying, when will I see that king of the sannyasis on the house of Vidyaspati's house, rooftop? And he said, now I see you are dressed as a sannyasi. You are not the same Lord. I understand you are not different than the Mahaprabhu we knew, but now I see you dressed as a sannyasi, and all of your beautiful locks have been shaven off, and you're wearing the cloth of a mendicant. I know there's no difference, but still my heart longs to take you back to Shiva Sangam on the banks of Pritukunda at Balaltigi, where you were engaged in your kirtan with all your devotees, when you had nice long hair, it was flowing and bouncing, and you had that long dhoti folded three times. And this is who we, this is our Lord. You please come back. So he was expressing, just as the gopis were feeling that same mood in Kurukshetra, then this same mood was experienced here to bring Mahaprabhu back to Shiva Sangam. So this is how we worship Mahaprabhu, and he's during it, before he took sannyas, in his Navadvipa pastime. This is, we don't like to think of Krishna taking sannyas. How can Krishna take sannyas anyway? So we don't like to think of so much of him as a sannyasi, because he's the supreme enjoyer, the supreme personality of Godhead. He doesn't have to follow the vows of a sannyasi. Even Nityananda, when Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda, he said, you don't have to become a, well, you become a mendicant, you're like a sannyasi. He was like a sannyasi. Mahaprabhu said, you go back to Navadvipa, but you get married, and it's not necessary for you to become formal austerities or anything like that. So this is the form that we worship, is Mahaprabhu in his, in Navadvipa Leela, when he was absorbed in the pastimes with his devotees there. While dancing, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the following verse, which he tasted in association with Srupa Damodara. The gopi spoke thus, dear Lord, whose navel is like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen to the deep well of material existence. Your lotus feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that those lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, for most people the mind and heart are one, but because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already in Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, you please place your lotus feet there. I would deem that your full mercy. My dear Lord, kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish your association there. But if I do not get it, then it would be very difficult for me to keep my life. My dear Krishna, formerly when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach speculative knowledge of mystic yoga. Now you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind doesn't accept it. There is no place in my mind for Jnana Yoga or Dhyana Yoga, and although you know it very well, you are still instructing me in Jnana Yoga and Dhyana Yoga. This is not right for you to do so. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you, engage in material activities, but even though I try, I cannot do so. I am naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are therefore simply ludicrous. In this way you are killing me. It is not very good for you to think me as a candidate for your instructions. The gopis are not like the mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating the so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. When they're all instructed to undergo mystic yogic practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they became more and more angry with you. The gopis have thus fallen into the great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the timingila fish of their ambition to serve you. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these timingila fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? The gopis do not want that liberation desired by the yogis and jnanis, for they are already liberated from the ocean of material existence. It is amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is it that you have forgotten your father, your mother and friends? How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the bank of the Jamuna, and the forest where you enjoy the rasa dance? Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well behaved, soft-hearted and merciful. I know that there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you. Yet your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is only my misfortune and nothing else. I do not care for my personal unhappiness, but when I see the morose face of Mother Jasoda and the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all, or do you want to enliven them by coming there? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you dressed like a prince, nor do they want to associate with great warriors in a different country. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan. And without your presence, they're all dying. What is their condition to be? My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj. You are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan. And you are very merciful. Please come and let all the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. After hearing Srimati Radharani's statements, Lord Krishna's love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very much perturbed. After hearing their love for him, he immediately thought himself to be always indebted to the residents of Vrindavan. And then Krishna began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. My dearest Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I am speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply upon remembering all you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. Sri Krishna continued, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, cowherd boyfriends and everything else, are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. And among all the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. My dear Srimati Radharani, I am always subordinate to the loving affairs of all of you. I am under your control only. My separation from you and residence in a distant place have occurred due to my strong misfortune. When a woman is separated from the man she loves, or a man is separated from his beloved woman, neither of them can live. It is a fact that they live only for each other. For if one dies, the other hears of it, he or she will also die. Such a loving chaste wife and a loving husband desire all welfare for each other in separation and do not care for personal happiness, desiring only each other's well-being such a pair certainly meet again, without delay. You are my most dear, and I know that in my absence you cannot live for a moment. Just to keep you living, I worship Lord Narayana, and by his merciful potency, I come to Vrindavan every day to enjoy pastimes with you. And then I return to Dwarka Dham. And thus you can always feel my presence there in Vrindavan. Our love affair is more powerful because of my good fortune in receiving the grace of Narayana's. This allows me to come there unseen by others. I hope that very soon I will be visible to everyone. I have already killed all the mischievous demons who are enemies of the Jadu dynasty. I have also killed Kamsa and his allies. But there are 2 or 4 more demons still living, and I want to kill them. After doing this, I shall very soon return to Vrindavan. Please know this for certain. I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. That is why I remain in this kingdom. Otherwise, I am indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives, sons, wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Jadus. Your loving qualities always attract me to Vrindavan. Indeed, they will bring me back within 10 or 20 days, and when I return, I shall enjoy with you both day and night, with you and all the inhabitants and the damsels of Brajabhumi. While speaking to Srimati Radharani, Krishna became very anxious to return to Vrindavan. He made her listen to a verse which banished all her difficulties and which assured her she would again attain Krishna. Lord Krishna said, "Devotional service unto me is the only way to attain me. My dear gopis, whatever love and affection you have attained for me by my good fortune, by good fortune, is the only reason for my returning to you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit in his room with Srupa Damodar and taste these topics and verses day and night. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance completely absorbed in ecstatic emotion. While looking at the face of Lord Jagannath, he danced and recited these verses. Jagannath Swami ki. So, another interesting thing here is that Krishna is saying, I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. That is why I remain in my kingdom when he is in Dwarka. Otherwise, I am indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives, sons, and wealth I maintain in his kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Jadus. So although Krishna is there with the Jadu dynasty, he's not there for his pleasure. He's there simply to give pleasure to the Jadu dynasty. They want to... He's their relative, he's their cousin, and naturally they all love him, he's so great. So they want, he said, the only reason I'm there in Dwarkapuri is to give the inhabitants, the Jadu dynasty, some happiness, because naturally they want to be with me. So this is showing how Krishna's real happiness is in Vrindavan. His greatest happiness is in Vrindavan, therefore he never leaves Vrindavan. He also mentions the same thing to Nanda Maharaj. When Krishna went to Mathura, then he was supposed to go back with Nanda Maharaj, but he said, "I cannot go back at the moment because my mother and father, Devaki and Vasudev, they want to give me some education and they want to send me to school and things like that. So I cannot come right now. I will come back soon, but the only reason I'm actually staying here in Mathura is to give my parents and others some satisfaction, because naturally I'm their son, they want to spend time with me." So there also Krishna is admitting to Nanda Maharaj that he's not there for his satisfaction. Krishna's happiness is in Vrindavan. That's why he never takes one footstep outside of Vrindavan. Whenever he does go out of Vrindavan, it's for the satisfaction of his devotees who want to serve him. They want to serve him as a great king, a great Kshatriya there. Or the unlimited expansions of the Lord. People want to serve him. They have a particular taste in it. So it's for his devotees' pleasure that Krishna expands. But for Krishna's pleasure, it's in Vrindavan. He never takes a footstep out. So this is the Krishna that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing to us. This is the Krishna who we are ultimately worshipping. And our emotional state, we try to follow in the footsteps that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us. He is our hero, he is our leader, our master. He is showing this sentiment, especially in his Shikshastikam prayers, that our only happiness is derived from Krishna's happiness. Our only happiness is to satisfy Krishna, whatever it takes. So this is the attitude that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing, and we can try to adopt. Anyway, this is the glory of Rathyatra Mahaprabhu, was revealed so many things, his position, and the position of Vrindavan, and the position of the devotees in Vrindavan. Okay. Jai Shri Rathyatra Mahotsav ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shambheda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna, thank you. Hare. Hare Krishna. No, Saint Thakur, she was Yogamaya Devi. Subhadra is also the internal potency. They're both internal potency. But that was another form, because she became Durga. When Kamsa tried to kill her, she went up in the sky and became Durga. Huh?
Where was she raised
at? Pardon?
Where was she raised at?
Oh, she's Mother Durga. She has 33 crores of devatas to look after her. She's the mother of them. She doesn't have a problem.
So she only performed that part time and then she disappeared?
Yeah, then she went up. She became known as Durga.
And then another question is, Krishna is expanding himself in so many forms to be in each palace. Why
No, he can't leave his wives and go. They'll complain. Huh? A duplicate.
He has so many expansions. Why can't he be also in Vrindavan?
It's very difficult for those queens to go to Vrindavan. Why would he want to take his queens to Vrindavan anyway? If he can mystically assume another form, why would he take his wife with him? Satyabhama couldn't handle it then. Yes. Dantavakra, Dantavakra, Vidurata, Vidurata. I think it would be more clearly explained in the Gokumara's. Oh, what was that? Brihapagotamrita, is it? Oh, Aurum Rupa Goswami's book. Anyway, some of those places. Okay. Rathyatra is 1 o'clock or 1:30. It'll probably be about 2:30. Vrindavan Jabo, Vrindavan Jabo, Vrindavan Jabo. Pull you back to Vrindavan as we come. Yeah. In my form, Vrindavan, no difference. You can easy separation, then a bundle of separation. Hare Krishna. Would you like to make any comment as the Prajavashi? Dinabandhu Prabhu?